Thank you for choosing to listen to our sermon podcast. My name is Chris Mitchell. I'm one of the pastors here at First Covenant Church of Anchorage. If you have any questions or prayer requests, feel free to stop by or send an email to office@anchoragefirstcovenant.com. God bless.
And so I'm going to now shift gears. Chris said we're not singing corporately, but they asked me if I would sing. So I'm going to sing a song. And it's a song that I thought this kind of fits with what I just shared. It's a song that's very well known throughout rural Alaska. In my home church, Unalakleet, where I grew up, it's sung pretty regularly. And the more I go along in my journey, the deeper I realize this song is and the goodness of it. It's called Praise Ye the Lord. I've never found it in any hymnal. I've looked around. I've never found this hymn. Maybe in one hymnal, Praise Ye the Lord. But it is such a good song. Praise Ye the Lord, for it is good. Praise to our God to sing. Another verse says, these that are broken in their heart and troubled in their minds, He healeth, and their painful wounds He tenderly binds. There's people who have been struggling who need the healing, the peace that comes from God, and even healing. He counts the number of the stars. He names them every one. Our Lord is great and of great power. His wisdom search can none. It's a rich song. And so I'm going to sing, okay? I'll sing an a cappella. And this is in our dialect in my hometown. I know in Inupiaq, it's translated another in Yupik, maybe in Chupik too, I think. It's a really well-known song in rural Alaska. And so I want to offer it as a praise to God. Because it is good to praise God. Mammi ki si rai at ni na twa di ki na yu re plu ri mi rai ku ya si nga nga yu ka ku ya si nga nga yu pu ta tu ru si at ta ki ka va na tu ku ya ha se ka va na Tanguruk, kisisi marai ubluhirut, atikarai lu kaisa. Angayukapuk kamanaktuk, kamanaktuk sange, isumalitu tikisaychuk. Kuya siung ngayukak, kuya siung ngayut pu tatuusi, ataki kvanaktuk, kuya aflik kvanak tanguruk. When I was a kid, in this chorus, it goes, The men who sing bass then would say, Atorosi. And when I was a kid, that bass sound, I just thought it was the coolest thing. And there were men in the congregation who, you know, whose voice stood out. And one of them was a man named Stanton. And I remember when he passed away, I was an adult. And I remember thinking to myself, who's going to sing Atorosi? You know, that voice was no longer with us. But it echoes in my mind. And you know what's really neat? is that there have been other people or men who whose voices rise up. And it makes me think about discipleship, and that's one of our ministries. We're a ministry of discipleship, the church. And there's people who have picked up the autosy. We're disciple makers, teachers, you know, and so I think of that wonder as a kid or as an adult. Who's gonna sing that, you know? And so I think of Stanton. And I think of others whose voices aren't with us, but their faith and stories are. And so I'll sing that chorus one more time with Stanton in mind and others who have gone before us, knowing that people step into the gaps when there's a gap to answer the call of Jesus. Let's see, it goes. Praise the Lord, it is good. Praise to our God to sing. For it is pleasant and to praise, it is a comely thing. Amen.
We want to pray for the conference and for Curtis and for Brian and the ministry. And thank you for leading us in that song. I think that's one we're going to have to learn as a congregation, because it's good. It's good. And we need to learn how to praise the Lord in many tongues. All right. Let's pray for the conference. Please join me in prayer. Holy Father, we thank you for the leadership of our Alaska conference. We thank you for the ministry that they support throughout the state. In rural Alaska, in the villages, and here at home, Lord. We pray that you continue to bless them and encourage them, Lord. We pray for the ministries, the college, and the ministries of KICY, and for the ministry of Kayak, Lord, around our state. Lord, we ask that they be in step with your spirit, that they lead wisely and humbly. And we ask that you bless them, that you give them strength when they're tired, that you hold them close when they're discouraged. And we pray that you support their families as well, because they travel a lot. And I know that can be hard as well. Thank you, Lord, for these men and their leadership. In Christ's name, amen. Okay. Oh, and I said men because it's only men right now. That's not a blanket statement. Now, a psalm? Can you do something for me, please? Okay. You need a bulletin today. So if you don't have a bulletin, Psalm, my son, is going to go into the back, and he's going to grab bulletins, and he's going to give you one. Psalm, you're going to go get some bulletins? Okay. Now, I am going to lead us in a call to worship, and then we're going to do a little activity before we start. The Word of God is planted in our hearts. May our hearts be receptive to the Word. The love of God rains down on us. May our souls soak in the wonders of God's love. The breath of God blows softly in us. May our minds be stirred by the power of God's Spirit. Amen. And I pray that our hearts be receptive to God's Word today, because we're going to be doing a little bit of a different service. And it's going to be very scripture heavy. And so in the worship guide, there's a scripture guide for the service. And as we go through the service, we are going to read these scriptures. There's going to be different people reading each scripture. But if you notice, there's going to be one verse that's highlighted. There's one verse that's highlighted. So after we read through the whole scripture, after somebody reads through the whole scripture, we're going to read the highlighted verse together. Okay, aloud. So you'll figure it out as we go, I'm sure. But before we do that, I want to do something to kind of help prepare our hearts. And this is a spiritual practice called hands down, palms up. It's one of my favorite. I actually used to do this with youth a lot before we get started. And it's a way for us to let go of all those things that burden our spirits so we can receive from the Lord. And so I'm going to grab a chair here just to show you. So, I'm going to sit in the chair. I'm going to have my palms down. Okay, my palms are down. And they're going to be fists. I'm going to make fists with my hands. And this is me grabbing on to whatever is boring me. You can rest your hands on your knees. You don't have to keep them up. I'm just keeping them up for the camera so they can see me online. Okay, so anything that's worrying you, any burdens you might have, okay, you know, trouble at work, the argument you had this morning, the unreasonable shifting of schedules by your supervisor, which is for all of my staff here, and you're going to acknowledge them. Don't deny them. Those things bother you. They weigh down on you. You acknowledge them and know that you're holding on to them. What you're going to do is you're going to try to open your heart and let go. Let go of whatever's bothering you. Let go of those things that are weighing you down. And then, as you let go of those things, put your palms up. Keep your palms open to receive what God has for you. Okay, and so we're just trying to stay there, like, God, I just want to receive whatever you have for me. And then if something distracts you again, something else comes up that's bothered you, just put your hands back around, acknowledge it, don't deny it. Things that bother you, bother you. You don't need to say that they're not there, but acknowledge it, but don't let it have power over you, and then let it go. And then flip your hands back open to the other side. So Lynette is going to play a little bit of music during this, and we're just going to take a couple minutes to do this together. All right? So it's just going to be a silence of us acknowledging things and letting them go. Lord, open our hearts to receive what you have to give to us. Lord, we know that we come in with the worries of the week, the worries of this morning, the worries of this year. And we acknowledge the difficulties of them. But we let go. We try to let go of our clenched fists and come to you with open hands, ready to receive what you have to give. In Christ's name, amen.
Okay, I'll be reading this first passage from Jeremiah 25. Follow along in your reading guide. If you're online at home and don't have this guide in front of you, this first passage will be Jeremiah 25, verses 3 through 14. From the 13th year of Judah's king Josiah, Amon's son, to this very day, 23 years, the Lord's word has come to me. I have delivered it to you repeatedly, although you wouldn't listen. In fact, the Lord has tirelessly sent you all his servants, the prophets, but you wouldn't listen or pay attention. They said, each one of you turn from your evil ways and deeds and live in the fertile land that the Lord gave you and your ancestors for all time. Don't follow or worship other gods, and don't anger me by what you make with your hands. Then I won't bring disaster upon you. But you wouldn't listen to me, making me angry by what you do and bringing disaster upon yourselves, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord of heavenly forces says. Because you haven't listened to my words, I'm going to muster all the tribes of the north and my servant King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, declares the Lord, and I will bring them against this country and its residents, as well as against all the surrounding nations. I will completely destroy them and will make them an object of horror, shock, and ruins for all time. I will silence the sounds of joy and laughter and the voices of the bride and the bridegroom. Yes, I will silence the millstones and snuff out the lamplight. This whole country will be reduced to a wasteland, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. When the 70 years are over, I will punish the king of Babylon and his nation for their wrongdoing, declares the Lord. I will reduce the land of the Babylonians to a wasteland for all time. I will unleash upon that land everything I decreed, all that is written in this scroll, which Jeremiah prophesied against all the nations. Yes, many great nations and powerful kings will enslave them, and I will pay them back in full for what they have done and made with their hands. Now let's read together verse 12. It's in bold. When the 70 years are over, I will punish the king of Babylon and his nation for their wrongdoing, declares the Lord. Now Rebecca is going to read from Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 to 3. And when she's done, we will then read together that bold verse 3.
In the year of Darius's rule, Darius, who was Ahasuerus's son, a Median by birth, and who ruled the Chaldean kingdom, I, Daniel, pondered the scrolls, specifically the number of years that it would take to complete Jerusalem's desolation according to the Lord's word to the prophet Jeremiah. It was 70 years. I then turned my face to my Lord God, asking for an answer with prayer and pleading and with fasting, mourning clothes, and ashes. I then turned my face to my Lord God, asking for an answer with prayer and pleading, and with fasting, mourning clothes, and ashes.
Babylon had been destroyed. Darius the Median, He was a general in the Persian Empire, and he'd been given control over the lands of Babylon. And Daniel was left wondering, how long? How much longer? How much longer would his people remain exiled? He was reading scripture, that passage in Jeremiah. And it had been about 70 years. 70 years is a long time. To most folks, Israel was just a dream that their elders had talked about. You know, part of the good old days. I mean, after 70 years, there's probably hardly anyone left alive that actually remembers that time. And sure, the enslaved Israelites, they probably kept some of their customs and their traditions, but for the most part, they'd become Babylonian. And Israel was just a memory from the time of their grandparents and great-grandparents. It wasn't real. But Daniel remembered. He was old, and he remembered why Babylon conquered Israel, how Israel had failed to worship their God and allowed false gods to enter their life. Daniel remembered how the prophet after prophet warned the people to follow God, to stop allowing themselves all those little compromises with the outside world. But the people didn't listen. And so the false gods that they allowed into their nation, the false gods that they worshiped, they poured into Israel. Because what's the point of being a unique, set-apart people for the Lord if you're just like everyone else? If there's no difference between being of Israel and being a Gentile, then why should God protect Israel? When God's protection was removed, Israel was effectively no more. The people that were once enslaved by Egypt and set free through the mighty acts of God were once again enslaved and taken to another land. But Daniel remembered and he mourned how his forefathers forgot the Lord. He was probably still a child at the beginning of the exile, but he knew from the scripture that the sins of his parents and the sins of his grandparents and their grandparents is what led to the downfall of his people. So he wept and he mourned and he fasted and he prayed and he confessed.
From Daniel 9, verses 4 to 14, and he prayed. I prayed to the Lord my God, and I made this confession. Please, my Lord, you are the great and awesome God, the one who keeps the covenant and truly faithful to all who love him and keep his commands. We have sinned and done wrong. We have brought guilt on ourselves and rebelled, ignoring your commands and your laws. We haven't listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our leaders, our parents, and to all the land's people. Righteousness belongs to you, my Lord, but we are ashamed this day. We, the people of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, all Israel, whether near or far, in whatever country where you've driven them because of their unfaithfulness when they broke faith with you. Lord, we are ashamed. We are kings, our leaders, and our parents who sinned against you. Compassion and deep forgiveness belong to my Lord, our God, because we rebelled against him. We didn't listen to the voice of the Lord, our God, by following the teachings he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel broke your instruction and turned away, ignoring your voice. Then the curse that was sworn long ago, the one written in the instruction from Moses, God's servant, swept over us because we sinned against God. God confirmed the words he spoke against us and against our rulers, bringing great trouble on us. What happened in Jerusalem hasn't happened anywhere else in the entire world. All this trouble came upon us exactly as it was written in the instruction of Moses, but we didn't try to reconcile with the Lord our God by turning from our wrongdoing or by finding wisdom in your faithfulness. So the Lord oversaw the great trouble and brought it on us, because the Lord, our God, has been right in every move he's made, but we haven't listened to his voice. Now let's read that verse 8, 9, and 10 together. Lord,
we are ashamed. We, our kings, our leaders, and our parents who sinned against you. Compassion and deep forgiveness belong to my Lord, our God, because we rebelled against him. We didn't listen to the voice of the Lord, our God, by following the teachings he gave us through his servants, the prophets. Notice that Daniel's speaking for all of Israel. He's confessing for all of Israel, not just for his sins, but for the sins of his fathers and his mothers, for the sins of the kings and the leaders that made poor choices. He's taking on all that sin. Through confessing it, he is saying that he's part of that legacy, a legacy of a people that ignored God's prophets, God's commandments, and ultimately, God himself. He's saying that those are my people, and they are my responsibility. And so he goes on to ask the Lord for forgiveness for the sins at least 70 years ago, for the sins 100 years ago, for the sins of 120 years ago. Because his people forgot the Lord.
Daniel 9, verses 15 to 19. But now, my Lord, our God, you who brought your people out of Egypt with a strong hand, making a name for yourself, even to this day we have sinned and done wrong, the wrong thing. My Lord, please, in line with your many righteous acts, please turn your raging anger from Jerusalem, which is your city, your own holy mountain. Because of our sins and the wrongdoing of our parents, both Jerusalem and your people have become a disgrace to all our neighbors. But now, our God, listen to your servants' prayers and pleas for help. Shine your face on your ruined sanctuary for your own sake, my Lord. Open your ears, my God, and listen. Open your eyes and look at our devastation. Look at the city called by your name. We pray our prayers for help to you, not because of any righteous acts of ours, but because of your great compassion. My Lord, listen. My Lord, forgive. My Lord, pay attention and act. Don't delay. My God, do all this for your own sake, because your city and your people are called by your name. Let's read together.
Open your ears, my God, and listen. Open your eyes and look at our devastation. Look at the city called by your name. We pray our prayers to help you, not because of any righteous acts of ours, but because of your great compassion. My Lord, listen. My Lord, forgive. My Lord, pay attention and act. Don't delay. My God, do all this for your own sake, because your city and your people are called by your name. I think many of us have probably prayed that same prayer for our own people. For when we look upon our city, when we look upon our neighbor in need, when we walk the trails, when we drive. This is Daniel reminding God of who God is and of who God created Israel to be to the world. Israel was formed to be a blessing to the entire world. A people whose identity, every aspect of their lives and culture, was designed to make a statement about the holiness of God. And now, during Daniel's time, there really isn't an Israel anymore. It doesn't exist as a nation. Its people are scattered around Babylon. So God has no people to represent him to the world. He has no nation. And he's asking, God, make your nation. Establish your nation so that we can see who you are, so we have a testimony of who you are in this world. Go ahead.
102, Psalm 102, verses 12 to 22. But you, Lord, sit enthroned forever. Your renown endures through all generations. You will arise and have compassion on Zion, for it is time to show favor to her. The appointed time has come. For her stones are dear to your servants. Her very dust moves them to pity. The nations will fear the name of the Lord. All the kings of the earth will revere your glory. For the Lord will rebuild Zion and appear in his glory. He will respond to the prayer of the destitute. He will not despise their plea. Let this be written for a future generation, that a people not yet created may praise the Lord. The Lord looked down from his sanctuary on high. From heaven he viewed the earth to hear the groans of the prisoners and release those condemned to death. So the name of the Lord will be declared in Zion, and his praise in Jerusalem when the peoples and the kingdoms assemble to worship the Lord. And back to verse 19. The Lord looked down from his sanctuary on high. From heaven he viewed the earth to hear the groans of the prisoners and release those condemned to death.
Daniel prayed, and he prayed, and he wept, and he cried, and he fasted, and God heard. God heard his groans. And he sent this angel, Gabriel, to give Daniel a word.
And gain wisdom about this. There will be 7 weeks from the moment the word went out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until a leader is anointed.
Oh,
is it the wrong scripture? I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. Daniel 9.
20.
Daniel 9, 20 to 23. While I was still speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sins of my whole people Israel, while I was still praying my prayer for help to the Lord, my God, about my God's holy mountain. While I was still speaking this prayer, the man Gabriel approached me at the time of the evening offering. This was the same Gabriel I had seen in my earlier vision. He was weary with exhaustion. He explained as he spoke with me, Daniel, here's why I've come, to give you insight and understanding. When you began making your requests, a word went out, and I've come to tell it to you because you are greatly treasured. 70 weeks are appointed for your people to cover. 70 weeks are appointed for your people and for your holy city to complete the rebellion, to end sins, to cover over wrongdoing, to bring eternal righteousness, to seal up prophetic vision, and to anoint the most holy place.
Let's read verse 23. When you began making your request, a word went out, and I came to tell it to you, because you are greatly treasured. God values a repentant heart, and Daniel's prayers are heard. His repentance is accepted, because this is what the Lord desires. Right? These are the words of Psalm 51, 16 through 17. You do not delight in sacrifice where I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. And that's what Daniel brought to the Lord. A broken spirit, a contrite heart. and the Lord greatly treasured him for it. Daniel 25.
So you must know and gain wisdom about this. There will be 7 weeks from the moment word went out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until a leader is anointed. And for 62 weeks, the city will be rebuilt with a courtyard and a moat. But in difficult times after the 62 weeks, an anointed one will be eliminated. No one will support him. The army of a future leader will destroy the city and the sanctuary. His end will come in a flood, but devastations will be decreed until the end of the war. For 1 week, he will make a strong covenant with many people. For a half week, he will stop both sacrifices and offerings. In their place will be the desolating monstrosities until a decreed destruction sweeps over the devastator. And now together in verse 26,
the army of a future leader will destroy the city and the sanctuary. His end will come in a flood. The devastations will be decreed until the end of the war. Like Daniel chapter 8, this appears to be another reference towards Antiochus the IV. But don't get distracted by this. Daniel is given this warning so hope is not lost. He's given this warning so that he knows that those that come to destroy and desecrate the things of God will not be victorious, even if they appear to be winning at a time. God will win. God will be victorious.
The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Now together, starting at verse 33, This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more.
I want to pause just for a moment. That was a lot of scripture we kind of worked through. Holy God, thank you for your word. Your word that redeems and your word that heals. Your word that points to repentance, God. Lord, we pray for penitent hearts. We pray for transformed lives, that we can follow Daniel's example. In Christ's name, amen. Now, people will get caught up in that last part of Daniel 9. They're going to read it as a little warning about the Antichrist, which it probably is. But I also believe that as we read it, it's also about Antiochus. And Antiochus is an Antichrist figure. There are a lot of figures like that in history. Figures that destroy and desecrate and devalue the things that are set apart from God. So it stands to reason at the end of history, there's going to be someone that does the same thing to the people that bear his image. But the message is given as a warning that they're a sign of the end. They are not the end. So take heart. The kingdom is coming. The kingdom of God is coming. And that's the message that Daniel is given at the end of the chapter. That despite how dark things may appear, the kingdom is coming. His kingdom is coming. And that road to the kingdom, it lies through repentance. Daniel repented. He was a repentant man. And he repented not just of his own sins, but the sins of his people. The sins of his fathers and his forefathers and his foremothers. He recognized that his own identity was bound in the choices that his ancestors had made. Because if God's going to make all things right, then God's going to have to deal with a whole lot of sins from a whole lot of generations that failed to heed his commandments. Notice, Daniel confesses for all of Israel, for the kings and leaders that make bad choices. He takes on all that sin. He's saying that these are my people, and they are my responsibility. And so he goes on to the Lord asking forgiveness for sins at least 70 years old, because his people committed that sins. And 70 years is a long time. I know we have a few folks in the congregation that are in their 70s and older, but we have a lot longer lifespan now than they had back then. And even us, we can barely remember 70 years ago. Back in Daniel's time, 70 years was generations ago. But if we can barely remember 70 years ago, when we still have people that are 70 years old living among us, sharing their wisdom with us, what does that say? Daniel, he confessed his people's sins from all those years. And 70 years, that was like the beginning of the exile, right? The exile was a consequence of years before that. So let's say 100 years. Let's just only add 30 years to that. And for those of you that aren't quick with math, that's 1921. Think about where we were as a country 100 years ago, 1921. Women had only had the right to vote for a few months at this point. A few months, not even a year. That was before Brown versus the Board of Education, 1954. It was before that. It was before the Alaska Equal Rights Act, which was the first Equal Rights Act and the first Anti-Discrimination Act in the United States, the Alaska Equal Rights Act, in 1945. Was before the end of the Jim Crow laws, which started in about 1877. It's way before the Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act passed in 1971. Way before the Indian Child Welfare Act in 1978. If Daniel can claim responsibility and confess for a century of sin? What about us? Can we do that? Should we repent? I think it's clear that Scripture gives us plenty of evidence that that's what we should do. And some of us are wondering, like, well, how long? When can we stop repenting? And I say, we stop repenting when we're done dealing with the ramifications of the sin. When we stop being confronted of the legacy of the sin. We should always keep a posture of repentance. We should always be working for the healing that ultimately comes from God, that will be completed in God. And, you know, this is a lot of issues. This is, I'm not trying to pick on one issue, you know. There's slavery. There's the destruction of Alaska Native American culture. There's abortion. There's the death penalty. There's the treatment of the LGBTQ community. There's our involvement in foreign affairs, especially right now in Afghanistan. There's the opioid crisis. There is a lot of sins that we claim. And I think there's a place for us as a people to behave like Daniel did and to claim his people's sins as his own. But just because we claim that sin, it doesn't mean we carry it. Daniel repents. He gives it to God because the sin is too heavy for us to bear. That's why we repent. It's too heavy for us to bear. That's why we give it to God. I know my own sin, my own personal sin, is too much. It's something I have to give to God. So I know that we can't bear the weight of historical sin and trauma, of the sins of our fathers and mothers, and of our grandparents, and of our country. And so, we give those sins to God. And we work for God's justice, for the fullness of his kingdom. Because his kingdom is where those sins are healed. Right? We're citizens. If you accept Christ as your Lord, you become a citizen of that new kingdom. And you work for healing. You work for healing the pains of those mothers that have to give up their children. We work to give up the pain of children that are given substandard education and living conditions. Right? We work for healing. We work for restitution. And so what I'm going to do, I wrote a prayer, and I'm going to pray it. But then after I pray it, we're just going to have some quiet. Lynette, can you play a song during that time? And during that time, you can pray. You can add your confession to this. I have a couple things that I'm personally going to confess for, you know, whatever's kind of coming to my mind. But you might have something in our country that you'd like to confess, something from our city that you'd like to confess. And just give it to God. And then we're going to end with a corporate prayer of confession. So let's pray. Holy and just Lord, we have fallen short of your glory. And our people have fallen short of your justice. We have not cared for those that have been last and least among us. We have not honored our elders or cared for our children. We have ignored our past and we have sacrificed our future. We have not cared for your commandments. We have not found our satisfaction in you, O Lord. We have not found our rest in you, O Lord. We have filled our lives with material things and with political things and with emotional things that distract us from your spirit and your prompting. We are a selfish and self-involved people. Lord, we repent. We ask that you hear our confession and forgive our sins. We ask for your grace to abound, for your healing to begin. We ask that you strengthen us to be your agents, Lord, to be your church, to be your body in this earth. We pray that you give us eyes to see what to do, for hands that are willing to do it, and for feet that are willing to go, and a back that's willing to be strong. Lord, we repent of not valuing life. We repent for not caring for the unborn and the mothers of the unborn. We confess that we have not cared for them, and we have not provided them. We have not provided for them as they grow up, Lord. We have looked at our own children with love, but we forget the fatherless and the orphaned, and we leave them our crumbs. Lord, I confess that we leave behind those that have dealt with trauma. For our soldiers and police officers and firefighters and public servants, Lord, that we don't value them. That we don't seek to help them, Lord. That we are quick to thank them and then to forget about them. Lord, I repent of our failures for not seeking healing, for not seeking a relationship. Those are two that just came to my mind. At this time, Lynette, go ahead and play. And repent, whatever comes to your mind, of the sins of our community, of our own sins, of our family sins. Please join me in this prayer of confession. Almighty God, we acknowledge and confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Deepen within us the sorrow for the wrong that we have done and the good that we have left undone. Lord, you are full of compassion and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. There is always forgiveness with you. Restore us to the joy of your salvation. Bind up that which is broken. Give light to our minds, strength to our wills, and rest to our souls. Speak to each of us, and let your word abide with us until it has wrought in you, in us, your holy will. Amen. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May Almighty God have mercy on us and forgive us all our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Church, that is the road to the kingdom of heaven, through repentance. Because when our heart is open to repentance, then our mouths are clear to confess that Christ is Lord.